Okay, good morning again everyone. If you would turn in your Bibles please to Psalm 119. As we've been saying, we're delving into these. We're not going into real depth in this, but we're delving into this as we go through this chapter. And it's about looking at what our attitude to the Word of God is. And I just wonder this morning what your attitude is to the Word of God. See, we all put masks on and we can put our hands up and do whatever when it comes to Sunday morning, but when the fit hits the shan in our lives, when we struggle, what is our attitude to the Word of God? Because that's when you know what your attitude to the Word of God really is. Let's just pray. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, this morning we just want to thank you that again, as we come like this, we come as people who love you. We come as real people, Lord God, who live in sin-cursed bodies in a sin-cursed world, who have our struggles and our trials and our temptations. But we come and ask you, Lord, as Jeremiah said, give me singleness of heart and inspire me to fear you. Teach us your ways, O God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week we looked at how in affliction God faithfully keeps his promises to bless us. We don't see our afflictions as God's blessing. And if you did, I would seriously think there's something wrong. You know, I don't get down on my knees in my room and say, oh, I thank you, Lord, that I'm really struggling this week. You know, I'm the same as everybody else. I'm screaming and shouting and kicking and getting dragged through hedges backwards, trying to get it changed. But the reality is that in that affliction, God is at work. The same hands that made us, keep us, provide for us, guide us, comfort and protect us, those same hands strengthen us in times of affliction. And God reminds us that he is always at work. And when we recognize that God is our creator, we begin to understand that he created us with a purpose to learn his will and his ways for our lives. And then, of course, that leads to, as we live as he wants us to live, fulfilling his purpose, then he makes our lives a testimony to others who fear him, but also to those who don't yet know him. And I've said this many times, and the Apostle Paul has said it to some people out there, even to our loved ones. At this time, we are the fragrance of life. To others, we are the fragrance of death. Some people see us and think, isn't that wonderful that they have a faith? I wish I had that. And other people see us as, look at them, Bucky, just wasting their time. But we become God's witnesses in the world as people see that we hope in God's word. And I have said this again many times, if the people out there don't see that we actually believe this, why would we expect them to believe it? If they don't see us coming to church, why would we expect them to come to church? The same hand that sends us affliction extends us comfort and strength, and through those afflictions God is faithfully fulfilling his promise to bless us and grant us true happiness. And through the afflictions that he calls us to go through, which are many of the same afflictions the world goes through, we are his witnesses to the world. They see how we deal with affliction differently. And when you ever have the privilege to go to the deathbed of a Christian and watch someone who trusts in the faithfulness of God departing into the presence of the Lord, and compare that to being at the deathbed of someone who doesn't know the Lord, who are departing, it's very, very much different. We are his witnesses, even in affliction. And we need to remind one another that in every affliction that God blesses us with, there is a hidden good yet to be revealed. And he has promised not one jot or tittle of the faithful promises of God will be removed until he has accomplished all he has purposed in us and for us. So we're looking at our next section of Psalm 119 this morning. We're reading from verse 81. The psalmist writes, My soul faints for your salvation, but I hope in your word. My eyes fail from searching your word, saying, when will you comfort me? For I have become like a wineskin in smoke, yet I do not forget your statutes. How many are the days of your servant? When will you execute judgment on those who persecute me? The proud have dug pits for me, which is not according to your law. All your commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Help me! They almost made an end of me on earth, but I did not forsake your precepts. Revive me according to your loving kindness, so that I may keep the testimony of your mouth. C.H. Spurgeon, the great preacher, describes this particular section, these verses from verse 81 to 88. He describes this section of Psalm 119 as the midnight of the psalm. The midnight of the psalm. And the Hebrew letter here, kaf, is a bit like last week's letter, yod, and it also speaks of a hand, but not in the same sense as last week's hand. Last week's hand was the creating hand, the hand that fashioned us. Rather, it suggests this week a covering hand, a hand of protection. And boy, how do we desperately need to know that hand of protection when we face our darkest hours. You see, the psalmist is telling us here in the midnight of this psalm that he faced a dark hour and he longed for God's salvation. My soul faints for your salvation. I wonder if you ever felt like that. If you don't answer, I'm going to faint. That's the pressure that this man was under. My soul faints for your salvation. My eyes fail as I search your word. When you're going through something, are you ever like that, where you just do not give yourself sleep? Your eyes even start themselves to fall asleep as you search the word of God for his promises. My soul faints, he says, for your salvation. My eyes fail as I search your word. Am I going to die? How many days have I left? When will you help me and deliver me from enemies who hate me and have set traps for me? Get an idea of what this man's going through. Experiencing this dark time, he cries out to God and he's searching the word of God for the promises that God makes to those who love him and walk in his ways. In his darkest hour, he is desperate for the comfort of God. And yet, in spite of how he feels, he holds fast to the word of God. Do you see his attitude to the word of God? He doesn't give his eyes sleep. They're actually failing him as he's searching for the word of God to see the promises of God so that he can respond to God in prayer and repeat these promises to God. This is what you have promised, O God. In my darkest hour, this is what you have said in your word. He faints for the salvation of God. And yet in his darkest hour, desperate for the comfort of God, he still holds fast to the word of God. He says this, I have become like a wineskin in smoke. That means nothing to us. Wineskins were often made from goat skin, and it first needed to be cured to make it fit for purpose. And the curing process was such that they were dried out over a fire and smoke. And they required careful watching over by the owner, or they'd shrivel up and be destroyed. I have become like a wineskin in smoke. The psalmist's words suggest that he felt like he was literally hanging over a fire, breathing in smoke, almost choking him. He felt like he was about to be consumed by the flames. John Calvin says, he is parched by the heat of adversities. And when all his strength is gone, he faints for the salvation of God. In his vulnerability, the psalmist's enemies, of course, seek an opportunity to trap him. They lie about him and they persecute him. They hate him because they hate the word of God. And thus they intensify his difficulties. But the psalmist is aware of their wicked schemes. And he said this, they almost made an end of me on earth. They almost made an end of him on earth, but heaven had other plans. See, because he trusted in the word of God, the protective hand of God covered him. Although sorely tried and tested, like a wineskin cured in the flames and the fires of God and carefully watched over in his darkest hour, the psalmist's plea was, oh God, please show me your salvation. Bring me through this and revive me, and I will rededicate my life to you and to your word. Longing and fainting for the salvation of God is not a new phenomenon. When the people of Israel were in captivity in Egypt, they longed and fainted for the salvation of God. Throughout the period of the judges in the Old Testament, for some Christians who don't know, that's a book in the Bible. Throughout the period of the judges in Israel, we read of the people oppressed by their enemies. And it says repeatedly, they longed for the salvation of God. When they were in captivity again in Babylon, the Israelites fainted for the salvation of God. Even Boney M would sing about this, that the people of Israel, when they were asked by their captors, sing us one of your songs, they couldn't sing, they couldn't rejoice anymore. They said, how can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? And yet here again, they'd have searched the word of God for his promise and longed for his deliverance from their enemies. And down through the centuries to the Roman Empire, the Jews sought God for his salvation. They had searched and they continued to search the word of God for his promises, and they knew that a savior would come to deliver them. Turn please to John chapter 1, John's Gospel chapter 1. John 1 verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And then to verse 29. John the Baptist has been baptizing people. And the next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins or the sin of the world. Here is the light that shines in the darkness. Here is the Word of God become flesh. Here is Jesus, the Savior of the world, and here is proof that God's covering, protective hand has not been forever removed. Here is God's confirmation that His faithful promises would be fulfilled in sending a Savior. This Word in which the psalmist trusted and hoped in became flesh and dwelt among us. This Word in which we urge one another to put our trust in is none other than Jesus, the Son of God. Thank God for the written Word that we have today, which we can take time to search through and know all the promises of God and learn His Word and His ways. But thank God for the living Word, Jesus, the salvation of God, now seated at God's right hand, ever ready to come to our rescue. You see, thank God that we have these two faithful witnesses, that God's covering, protective hand is over those who love Him and keep His Word. See, when you're going through your trials and you're asking yourself, oh, I don't know if God loves me anymore. There's a witness that He does. And you've Jesus seated at God's right hand as a witness that He does. The enemy will come in and say to you, you can't listen to this, the promises are not true. But like the psalmist, no matter how you feel, no matter how dark your day may be, it may be the midnight of your soul, there's the faithful witness and Jesus at God's right hand to say, not one jot or tittle of all of God's faithful promises to you shall pass away until He has accomplished all that He has promised to do. Thank God that these two are faithful witnesses, that God's covering, protective hand is over those who love Him and keep His Word. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And is this not what Christmas is supposedly, I hate Christmas, but is this not what Christmas is supposedly all about? Is it not about celebrating the coming of Jesus into this world to save people from their sins? Is it not about the Word becoming flesh? Emmanuel, God with us, to save His people from their sins. But let me tell you this morning, it's about more than this. It's about God's people, those who trust in God and love His Word, demonstrating that we have a Savior whose covering, protective hand is always over our lives. Even in our afflictions, when the waves and the storms surround us, when fires seem like they are going to consume us, Jesus reminds us He is carefully watching over us to preserve us and to keep us in His love. We may feel like our enemies, our troubles and our afflictions have almost made an end of us on earth. But like the psalmist, we too can look to heaven and see the Lord is watching over us and He will bring us through. So what is our attitude to the Word of God? We have this to be thankful for. We have Jesus, the living Word, the salvation of God, seated at God's right hand. But what is our attitude to the Word of God? See, when we call out to God and He doesn't answer us at once or do what He promises to do, our only response should be to hold fast to His faithful Word and keep looking to Him. Our trust in God will never be in vain. Our trust in God will never
be in vain.
We cannot allow our feelings to distract us from our faith in God's word. You know, too many Christians say, "Oh, I longed, I fainted for your salvation," but then they give up. Too many Christians say, "I longed, I fainted for your salvation," but just stop going to church. "I longed, I fainted for your salvation, but I grumbled and complained all day long about my problems. I longed, I fainted for your salvation, but I went back to the world." What is your attitude to the Word of God? When we call out to God and He doesn't answer us at once, or He doesn't do what He promises to do straight away, our only response is to hold fast to His faithful word and keep looking to Him, because our trust in God will never be in vain. You see, when faced with trials, hardships, and afflictions, we may feel the Lord has forsaken us. We can feel that on a regular basis, that the Lord has forsaken us or has abandoned us. However, very often when we think the Lord has left us, He's actually nearer to us than we could ever imagine. As the hymn writer says, "Judge not the Lord by feeble sense." Don't judge the Lord by your feelings, by what you feel. "Judge not the Lord by feeble sense, but trust Him for His grace. Behind a frowning providence, there hides a smiling face." He's saying, "You're my wineskin. You're my wineskin. And I know I'm hanging you over the flames here. I know you're breathing in the smoke and you think you're going to choke to death and the flames are going to come up and burn you and you're going to shrivel up and die. Trust me, I'm watching over you carefully, because my calf, my protective hand is over you, and no harm will come to you." Like the wineskin, the covering protective hand of God is over us, and He carefully watches to ensure we're not consumed by the flames, but rather we're made fit for purpose. In our darkest times, like the psalmist, we too may cry out, "My soul faints, my soul longs for your salvation, O God, but I hope, I trust in your word." Keep on trusting, praying, fellowshipping, hoping, and expecting God to act, to keep His faithful promises to bless me and show me His salvation. We have two faithful witnesses to remind us that God will keep His promise: the written Word of God and Jesus, the living Word of God, the Word become flesh who dwelt among us, and who is now seated at God's right hand, ever living to make intercession for us. May we all this morning, like the psalmist, when faced with dark times, find the grace to pray, "Oh God, please show me your salvation. Bring me through and revive me. And I will rededicate my life to you and to your word." Let's pray. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, again this morning, thank you for the written word. And thank you for the living word that is Jesus Christ, your Son, seated at your right hand, ever living to make intercession for us. Thank you that we have these two faithful witnesses to remind us in our times of affliction that you, Lord God, will protect us. That we are, in that sense, Lord, your wineskins, being cured, made fit for purpose, so that you can use us more and more and touch the lives of others around about us. Father, please help us not to be overwhelmed by unbelief. Please help us not, Lord God, to succumb to the lies of the evil one when we do face hardship. Help us not to cut ourselves off from you or from your word or from fellowship with other believers. But help us, Lord God, when we face our darkest hours, like the psalmist, to trust in your word. In Jesus' name, amen.